our thoughts. Lord, this is your time. This time you've carved out for us to gather and hear your word and see each other and to be sharpened, encouraged, restored, helped, healed. Lord, for our country, for a revival, for churches like this, for us to seek you and find you comfort and peace, wisdom, new life, a new way, and then greatly glorify our Heavenly Father. Oh God, we are searching in our hearts tonight for what you have to say to us. And we are here listening. Oh God, thank you for all our sisters and brothers persecuted, in a lot of trouble tonight, in a practical way, in a prison, without children, without their money, or wife, or home, or food, for Jesus' sake. They are in trouble. For Jesus' sake, they follow you. Whithersoever the Lamb goes, they follow you. We pray for them, Lord, in your name. Bring comfort, godly authority upon them. Crown them with honor, with the unseen world of angels, with your anointing on their lives, comfort in their souls. Help them, bless them, and use them to teach us the walk of faith and prepare us for our days ahead in whatever that may mean. That's your business, Lord. We rest and trust you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. May your Holy Spirit be upon every man and woman of God in our country. May they stand and stand against the wiles of the devil. May we stand in our times of temptation. May we be strong in grace, be restored, healed, and helped, and useful. In your name, amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, it's great. If we could look at Christmas and back up and look at the universe and where did the universe come from? What is happening in the universe and where is it going? I like this meditation because there's a lot of elements to it. And so the first one is Job 38, verse 5, 6, 7. Who laid the measures thereof? God is talking to Job, and he's talking about the foundations of the earth in verse 4. Where were you? Where wast thou? Where were you when I did this, when I created the earth? We could say the universe, because they go together, our solar system, in the Milky Way, in the universe. Where were you? Who laid the measures thereof? Verse 5, do you know? He is asking Job to give these answers, which no one knows. And so, therefore, making Job find his place as a little man in the universe. You are a little man, like we are little people. What do we know? What do we actually know? I mean, in light of this. So then he says, whereupon are the foundations fastened? Verse 6, who laid the cornerstone thereof? Then this is the part. When the morning stars. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy and a psalm There are references to the stars singing and them being associated with angels. So it looks like the universe is populated by stars and planets and so on, and angels, that the angels are singing. Before the world was created, the angels were made. God made the angels first. And then he, so to speak, flung out the stars and the skies and the cosmos and made the universe. And the angels saw it and they sang. What did you think they sang? Actually, in Revelation, it tells us that the angels say how awesome God is as the creator. He is the creator of the universe. They saw it. You see, you can't sing about anything that you haven't been through. When you go through the Red Sea, they sang. When Hannah had a son by the grace of God, she sang. When Mary was pregnant with Christ, she sang. Elizabeth sang. And we sing a new song. What we have been through, we are able to sing about it. So the angels saw creation. And what do you think they saw when they saw that? What part of God did they see? When they saw God do this, and it must have been absolutely, of course, incredible. There is no universe. And then suddenly there is. And they sang. And what do you think? My words are, they saw his wisdom and they saw his power. But what is it that they didn't see in that particular? It was there, but they didn't see it. What was it when God created the universe that they didn't see or recognize about God in that particular? They didn't see his humility. Why do I say that? Because he is humble. It says in Psalm 113, he humbles himself to behold the heavens and the earth. He is humble to look at the heaven and the earth. And my understanding is that is when he looks at the heavens and the earth, he cares about it. He cares about everything in it. He cares about everything, every law, every function, every insect, every bit of gravity, every bit of cosmic fallout, everything, the temperature of the sun, the moon, the gravitational pulls, all of it, he cares about it because he is God and holding it together. But it doesn't prove his humility. It shows his power, and I'll put here the word reign as authority. The reign. Who made it? God. Who rules over it? God. What do you see? You see power, and you see his wisdom. Who else saw it? Who was one of the angels that saw the power and the reign? Yes, Lucifer. He was there and he saw it. What was it that Lucifer didn't see? Yeah, in my thought here tonight, and we will look at the scripture in a minute, but my thought here tonight is that Lucifer didn't really know God. Though he was there, and in every way you would say he would know God or he knew God, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Who knew God really well? Jesus. The Son of God, who is God, who knows God. Now knows God as power, but he knows God as humble. Jesus knows God and is God. And when he came into the world at Bethlehem, Christmas celebration of the most incredible manifestation of the character of God that the angels could ever see, and they sang when they saw it. They were shocked. It was unbelievable that God would become a man. Wow. God would become a man and be humble and be with us. Because when he looks at the heaven and the earth, he not only loves it, he made it, he has a plan for it, but he made us in his image. Not as the angels. We were not there when the world was made. We are born on our birthdays, came into the world. We never existed before. By the miracle of grace, he separated us from our mother's womb, and he gave us his grace, and he saved us, called us by his name, and we have a new life. We are understanding some of these things by reading the scripture, by Jesus talking to us, because Jesus is humble. Jesus can be here with us, even in our sin, even in our failure and our foolishness. He is here with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. Wow. So now turn to Hebrews 2 with me, please. And verse 5. For unto the angels he hath not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. The world to come, that phrase, I have a list of the descriptive words of the in the millennial reign. Many of you know the scripture well, and you understand when I say millennial reign, it's the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth without yet a perfect earth, but a very good one. When God made the world in the beginning, it was good. When he made man, he was very good, but it wasn't perfect. But the world is going. We are looking at that world that is coming in the eternal age, which is perfect. And that's coming. We read it in the book of Revelation. Before the perfect one, we have a better one, which is called the millennial reign of Christ. God has not put the angels in charge. And by the way, today, the angels are not in charge of planet Earth. A fallen angel is. A fallen angel has been given authority here on the Earth. But he's not the only one in authority. But he is the God of this world. And he does his work, and we see it in Isaiah 14 and 2 Corinthians 4. But look again, there is another kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, or the reign of God on the earth. Through humble people, through born-again people who have found Christ, through Christ who is on the earth as the head of the body, and that spirit of Christ is in us, and we can see. We are learning, we are growing, and we are part of this word here, this rain. It's a big word in our Bible. The rain. It's like you can have a man, but with the man there is the power or the authority. Christ was that one. If I with my finger cast out demons, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That same authority is with us. It's been given to us. We are anticipating the world to come. There is a world coming. We will be raptured, maybe soon. Some of us, it doesn't matter because we're at the end anyway. We're going to go. Whether it's the rapture or the other way, we're on our way out of here. But soon. And all the believers in heaven, listen to that. The believers in heaven and earth. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 2. The believers in heaven and earth. Wow. No, 3, verse 20. Heaven and earth. So we are the believers on the earth, and there are the believers that are in heaven, and God is the Father of both groups. And we are one body, one flock, one fold, one shepherd, and with one kingdom. And Jesus said in Luke 19, the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a farmer who owned a farm, who went away and he gave responsibility to his servants. He gave them £1, one fourth of a salary of an agricultural worker, one fourth of the wage, the one fourth of the about $10,000, perhaps we could say. He gave to each, and he said, "I will return." While he was away, there was a rebellion. "We will not have this man reign over us." In verse 14. That spirit of rebellion is in this world from the rebel Lucifer, who fell from heaven and is Satan, the god of this world. We have been in his kingdom, Ephesians 2:2. We were dead in our sin. We walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. We were subject to him. We are operating in his kingdom, naive, foolish, blind, tempted, lying, evil people with evil in our hearts. Though good, morally and civilized, though good with a conscience that hurt us at times, but without Christ, without covenant, and without promise in Ephesians 2:12. But God, saved us by his grace. But God translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God is faithful, who's called us into the fellowship of his dear Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Now we are indwelt by him. Many times we have a connection that's we're very alive to God. We love God. Many times in our hearts, just being on the earth, we have a love in our heart for God. We're drawn to God. We love God. We want to hear from God. We want to relate to God. He reigns. He reigns. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Psalm 68, verse 1. He is real. He is God. He made the universe, and he made us like him. Oh, wow. Out of the mouths of babes, he's perfected strength. Psalm 8, verse 2. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? Oh, God, you visit us. You call us by your name. We have found your word and did eat it. and it was a joy and rejoicing in my heart, for I am called by thy name, O God. Wow. This world, have you noticed? It's covered with dirt and water. But you know what is in that dirt? What's in the dirt? There's gold, silver, uranium, plutonium, titanium. What's in the air? What gases? What do we have? Helium, oxygen? What do we have? Hydrogen? What's in the air? Why on this planet? Why on this planet do we have fossil fuel? Why do we have water? Oceans, miles deep. Why? Why on planet Earth? Is this planet this way and all the others are dirt and gas and heat and cold? Why here? Because God did not give this planet to the angels. He gave it to man. Look at the verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. He did not give it to angels. Angels don't need the water. Angels don't need the gold and the silver. Angels don't need it. I don't know what's on the other planets, but I know that this one is packed full of insects, fish, birds, animals, and people. It's packed full. And here we are. Born of God and amazed at God. We're amazed at God. For we have seen not only his wisdom and his power, but we have seen his humility. We have seen him on a cross. Galatians 3, verse 2. We have seen him come to us when I'm miserable and lousy and an unbecoming human being, depressed and cranky and cursing and hating and jealous and rip you to pieces. He has come to me to love me, to forgive me, to save me, to visit me, to say, I love you. I am for you. I forgive you. Remember when the man came down through the roof, he was paralyzed. First thing Jesus said to him was, he didn't say, do you repent? Do you repent of your sin? He didn't say it at all. He just said straight up, your sins are forgiven you. That's called grace. That's not, I repented and then he forgave me. That's he forgave me and that changed my life. And ever since, I've been just sensitive to God in my heart because I love him and I want to do the right thing. And when I do the wrong thing, it affects me in my heart. I don't like it. That's a beautiful definition for repentance, isn't it? Okay, so chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you visit him? Get rid of the whole thing, God. Throw it all away. No big deal. You don't lose a thing. You are infinitely glorious always. Nothing can change you. You cannot lose anything. You cannot gain anything. There's nothing in this except your own mind. And if you've decided to show us your love and to show the angels and to manifest yourself to us forever and ever this way, then here we are. We're game. We're amazed. Heaven starts here for us. We see God now in this life, don't we? So here it says, verse 7, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. Did set him over the works of your hands. It looks like man is the crown of God's creation. This little sketch that, you know, it goes like this. God's got a tomato plant. He's got below that, he's got bacteria. He makes insects and animal. He makes mammals. That's like here, low quality mammal, higher quality. Finally, you get a horse. And then where's man on the list? Whoa, he is. How much more is he? Opposable thumbs, right? Nobody has that but us. In a mind like our minds and our thoughts, our feelings, our affections, our hurts, our wounds, our disappointments, our awareness of the past and the present and the future. Who made us? And we are made for him. And we live and move and have our being in him in Acts 17. And he didn't make the angels like us. The angels are high. We didn't put that on our little sketch here. They are higher than us for a while. For a while, they are higher than us. Why? Because they don't have a mortal body. Because they have never sinned. Because they are holy and perfect. And we, for a while, are lower. But look out. We're coming. We're coming. We're being raised out of the dust. Wait a minute. Angels, we're coming. I don't mean we're leaving our body and going to heaven. That day, that is coming too. But look out. Even our mortal body will be glorified. And we will be above the angels. We are a little lower now. And Jesus was a little lower than the angels in that sense of being a man. He was never lower as God, of course. He was as high as God is, and that cannot higher be. For in the Son of God, we are as high as he. So, I love this because when we step back from what we look at in the world, we just saw a governorship election in Virginia and New Jersey, right? And that was pretty incredible. What's going on? But hey, who wants to reign over Virginia? Who wants the power over the United States? Who wants the power over the whole world? You know who. But you know who it belongs to. It doesn't belong to the devil. It's not his. He's here. God has granted him that. But look at what God is doing. He has us. He sent his son. He came. He has us. It's almost incredible to think about it. I can't even put it in words. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's unspeakable, actually. It's beyond our capacity. It blows our mind to think of it in reality, to talk about it like it is reality, and to think about it and meditate upon where it's going and what it is that we are part of. And Jesus is like with his disciples, he's like, There were two of them who wanted to sit on his right hand and left hand, and he said, it's not for me to give, but I'm telling you, it's for real. My Father will give that to who he wants to. You mean it really is? Oh, yes. There are thrones. There is a kingdom. There's actually people ruling in the millennial reign. There actually is a kingdom coming. Christ is actually coming in Revelation 19. But not without him first getting married. Married? What's that got to do with it? Married. This is a mystery. Ephesians 5:32. That the church is married to Christ. One day. Now we are betrothed. Hosea 2:18 and 19. We are engaged. We have the engagement ring, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, sealing us. We are sealed. We belong to him. But we have not yet been purified for the wedding. We haven't yet left our body. We haven't left our sin. We haven't left our mortality. We haven't yet been without spot, without wrinkle. That day is coming. We'll be raptured and meet him in the air without spot, without wrinkle. And we will forever be with the Lord as his bride. When we come back on the earth, where will Satan go? He will go into the bottomless pit. Turn with me to Revelation 20, and we'll finish in a few minutes here. Revelation 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I hope that chain is big enough. We don't want any mess-ups. He's got to be apprehended and chained and put in the bottomless pit. Verse 2, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. This is a powerful angel, whoever he was. He got a hold of him, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. World is going to change because he's not here as he is today. He is here today. Have you seen him? Have you heard him? Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what is happening in the world? He is the one that makes the nations tremble. Is this the one? Let's turn to Isaiah 14 and read that, please. Are you guys with me? Okay. Yes. Isaiah 14. The I wills. In verse 12, 14, 12, we have five I wills. And I believe these I wills have a lot to do with what he saw when he saw God create the universe. And he understood God's reign. He wants the reign. He wants the authority. Just like somebody wants the governorship of a state, or to be the president, or to be a world leader or world ruler, but much more, on greater magnitude, on steroids. He wants it. I want it. So he says, I will, I will, I will, five times. Because he wants it. He wants the reign. And here, there is something in there where he was able to see the Messiah. He was able to see the future, and he wanted it. He wanted it, but what was it that Lucifer didn't have that Christ has? Humility. Christ got it by his humility, by his submission to the Father. The Father would not give this to Lucifer. Lucifer would want it, but never be able to understand the nature of God, the nature of what it is, what it means to be ruling and reigning. It has nothing to do with that kind of power, like in the world with mortal men, with armies and bloodshed and lying and cheating and stealing. This would be a different kingdom. This would be one that you can't even imagine the true nature of it, the humility of it, the love of it, the nature of it. And that nature and character, glory be to God, sisters and brothers, imagine the nature of God is in us. Have you seen it? I have. Sometimes I meet a brother or sister and I see them, and I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. I know your kingdom is real. Many of us missionaries, we have seen it in third world countries and places, people that don't know our language, they don't know anything about our background, but miraculously, out of their heart comes this amazing humility, this amazing love, this amazing oneness. I believe in the kingdom of God because I have seen the church of God, the nature of God in the believers, and all through history, you read about it. don't we? Okay, so this one part I wanted you to notice. When we realize when he's brought down to hell, verse 15, that yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. When this happens, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Now, I've never looked that word up in the Hebrew. Does anybody have it? Narrowly. That word narrowly. Anybody have it? Sharply, glance, look. Study it. Yeah. We will look. There'll be an opportunity when we will realize that this liar, this creature from the deep, okay, this rebel, this one, this even, we could say, just an empty, well, he's filled with evil, but just we will realize, look at the verse, please. It says, we will narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Are you the one that dwelt in the Antichrist and brought the earth to near destruction? Are you the one that has stolen children? You are the one that has destroyed nations and people groups. And are you the one? Are you the evil one? Are you the one? It's unbelievable to think of you. This doesn't say this, but I'm just kind of trying to say something. You little small little person, you. Are you the one? Are you the one? You liar. You evil creature. You nobody. You wanted that. You are such a destroyer and a nobody. Yeah. Remember, like in The Wizard of Oz, when the dog Toto pulled back the curtain and realized that the Wizard of Oz, the great wizard, is a nobody, a paranoid, schizophrenic old man. How about these tyrants, when you find out who they are? Empty people, miserable, nobodies, but so destructive. So let's look at, finish it. It says, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? You would never let a prisoner out. You would never relieve a person of their pain. You would never care about a child without a dad or a mom. You would never care about a poor person. You never give, you never help anybody. You never do a thing. In that system of Satan in the minds of fallen, unregenerated people is what's leading our nations and affecting our decisions. And so we are praying, we are in the world and we are different. And enjoy the difference. Enjoy the difference. Walk upon his high places. Do not bow down to a lie. Do not compromise with error and evil. Do not play part of his game. Be kind. Be loving. Be forgiving. Do not be revengeful. Do not look for revenge. Do not live in jealousy. Do not make your world small by the lust of your own heart and the fallen nature of your own sinful self. For all of us, no, we are bigger than that. I am not my sin. I am redeemed. I am not driven by that. I am led by the Spirit. I am not alone. I am with my Heavenly Father. He made the universe and he put us here. And it's going somewhere. And one day we will see more clearly. Now we see through a glass darkly, but we see Jesus raised from the dead. We see Jesus on the throne. We see Jesus in our personal life. We see Jesus and the Holy Spirit showing us and leading us and giving us understanding about the world to come. Because it's coming. So, this short list, it's pretty long actually, but I'll just go run through it. Peace in the millennial. He removes the curse in the millennial. Sickness is removed. Healing of the deformed. Protection. I have all Bible verses coming from Dwight Pentecost. Things to come. No immaturity. Reproduction by the living peoples. Labor will be in the millennium. Economic prosperity. Increase of light. Unified language. Unified worship. Manifest presence of God. The fullness of the Spirit like we've never seen before. The earth will be filled with the Spirit of God and the people. There will be no evil manifestation. There'll be the mortal people, mortal bodies, and the people living and reproducing in the population on the earth for the 1,000 years. But there will be peace on earth like we've never seen. There will not be death like we see today. There will not be any pandemic. There will not be any murder. There will not be any stealing. It will be a world that's coming. We will see what this world will be like when God is here in fuller strength and Satan is put in the bottomless pit. When we see that, we would be amazed that he caused these world wars, these diseases and sicknesses and these murders, when he caused the pain that's happening in this world and even tonight, that we will just say, that is incredible. That is a rebellion against the holy God. Our God is the only wise God. There aren't any others. Our God is the living God, the one that really cares about people and humbles himself to look at heaven and earth and cares about your life in a very personal way. He is your heavenly Father. He hears your cry. He knows your need. He sent the comforter and also the teachers. We have teachers that stand in front of us, and we hear a voice behind us saying in Isaiah 30, verse 20, our teacher, God gave us teachers and pastor teachers so that our Bible would be opened up and the Holy Spirit would speak to the church. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. 7 times it's repeated in Revelation 2 and 3. We need the church life, a church life, a spiritual life, a motivated life, a desire for godliness, a personal life of sanctity, a life of devotion, a life of faith as you go about your day. And I know you work very hard. Many of you, you work very hard. You're very busy. You come here for this hour to be together and you go home and just collapse on the couch. Eat ice cream and go to bed. Okay, I know that that's how you live, and I respect that. Why not? A book of remembrance is written. There are things that I heard 40 years ago that I remember tonight. There are things that I've heard in the church through decades that is like comes back to your mind in prayer, in faith, and God speaks to you, gives you the word. You have it, and it's not in vain. So, in closing, this great image of Nebuchadnezzar, great image of this great statue. Daniel saw it. He interpreted the dream. And then he said, and I saw a small stone not made with man's hands. I saw a stone, Daniel chapter 7, not made with man's hands. And it smote the image, and it fell over. And the wind blew, and it became chaff. And that little stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's us. That little stone is Christ. That little stone, don't underestimate. Devil, we're talking to you. Let's talk to him right now. Hey, devil, Hey, pay attention. We're talking to you. That little stone, that resurrected Christ, that kingdom becomes a great mountain and fills all the earth, and you are out of it. You are gone. You are in the bottomless pit, and after that is done, you are released for a short time, and then you go to hell, to the lake of fire forever and ever. And so do the people. Mark 9, 43, 45, 47. It's better to cut your hand off than to have both hands go to hell where there is consuming fire and it is never quenched. What a message to people. Amen. You pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, these are awesome things that you have written to us. We in our hearts receive what you have to say. Please apply it in our way of thinking and lead us in our lives practically. Somebody might say, oh, Pastor, I don't know, I got practical issues. I know, we all do. But go after the things that are above, and God, your Heavenly Father, will take care of the things below. He will help you. Set your affections on the things above, not on the earth. Put your things in the things that count. Of learning humility, learning faith, learning obedience, and trusting in God as your Father, for He loves you more than you could ever imagine. If you're not a believer tonight, we want to give you an invitation to become one. It's that simple. You say in your heart to God by faith, God, I need you. Save me. I believe you will save me. I believe you came to save me. I believe this is your work. I trust you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.